As we near the end of the first week of phase two, more and more businesses are opening around Massachusetts. But that, of course, means that more workers are going back to their jobs. What does it mean for employees when we're still in the midst of a pandemic? We're going to spend the first part of our show today focused on workers' rights, how to know if your employer is doing enough to keep you safe, and what you can do if you feel uncomfortable about the situation you're in. So call us. Are you going back to work? Have you been there all along? Do you feel safe? Have you questions about your rights? Call 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We'll see what we can do to answer those questions. Here to help answer those questions is Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey. AG Healey, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Oh, it's great to be with you. Good afternoon.
So, AG Healey, the point of today's conversation is worker safety as we reopen during a pandemic. That is where we're going to focus. I know you know, though, there's another massive story going on all around us, which is nationwide renewed attention on race-based police brutality in the wake of the killing of George Floyd. Protests in every state, increased calls for police accountability and reform. So briefly, before we dive into our focus on workers' rights and safety, how are you thinking about this other moment we're also in right now?
Well, this is an incredibly pivotal moment for our country. And what we've seen is this, I think, continued call for justice and equality. That is not going away. I think you're going to continue to see protests and vigils. And I think what we need to do as a country is confront 400 years of racism. We have to own it. We have to acknowledge it. And we have to build forward from this time, beginning by engaging in difficult conversations and listening to Black people and building what we need to build in terms of policy reforms and so many measures to eradicate systemic racism that really pervades all aspects of society, certainly criminal justice, but also housing, employment, education, the environment, really touches everything. And this is the opportunity to build and go forward and do what we should have done as a country a long time ago. I mean, these are about these protests. And what you see is the pain and the anguish of generations of people who have withstood degradation and denigration far too long. And they every day are confronting racism. I opened up a conversation in my office 2 weeks ago, and it's been amazing to have an office-wide conversation with on this topic. And, you know, I think that myself and many of our white colleagues have learned so much listening to the stories of our Black colleagues, what they go through, the ways in which they have been profiled, going into work, pulled over, leaving from work. The ways they've had to instruct and talk to their kids about racism and how to engage with the police. It's really heartbreaking. And so I've just been encouraging everybody, particularly white people, to get as educated as you can on systemic racism, speak up to it and speak out against it, get involved and support community organizations that are fighting this, and really get engaged in this movement.
I appreciate you touching on it with us. I want to acknowledge that there is so much more to talk about here, including responsibilities of institutions like the one that you run in advancing reforms. I hope you will come back on our air soon to dive more deeply into this equally important conversation.
Absolutely. And I'll just close on this by saying that a number of us state attorneys general are calling for Congress right now to give us as states authority to investigate patterns and practices of police brutality, unconstitutional policing. We're working very hard with Congresswoman Presley's office, Senator Warren, Senator Harris, and I really hope we can see that change, because clearly we don't have a Justice Department that's going to do anything about this. And state AGs really need to be given that authority by Congress. But
great.
A lot to
so
talk
we'll
about
have you
for
back
sure.
on. Yeah, we'll have you back on. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. I do want to turn our attention to today's critical subject. What do you think is the most important thing for workers across the state to know as more businesses open and more workers head back to their place of employment?
That they need to be safe and protected. You know, as we reopen, there are very clear mandates for what has to happen in the workplace. Employees need to feel safe and they need to be protected when they return to work. Obviously, we want to see the reopening. We need to see the reopening. But, you know, my office, which runs a Fair Labor Division, created a hotline because already we've had reports of workers reporting to work and unsafe working conditions. We've been able to take action with those employers and make that right. But it is really important for employees to know that they have rights, regular cleaning and disinfection, the right PPE, personal protective equipment, 6 feet of social distancing. And there can be no requiring a symptomatic employee to work. You can't force somebody to work if they're sick, nor can you retaliate against a worker who is out for COVID-19-related illness. So this we're now in phase two, and I think Governor Baker's phase plan requires really important things, and as Attorney General, we're going to be there to enforce that.
So our lines are filling up quickly, and there's another voice that I want to bring in on this. But before we do, I have one other question to ask you. You mentioned PPE a moment ago. I want to ask you about a story we aired today on BUR about acquiring masks and other PPE. We've seen mask prices go up sometimes 1,000%. We've also seen that some of the masks purchased by the state or by hospitals turn out to not meet important standards. You've spoken to WBUR about the state's scramble to get masks and other PPE during the pandemic, and I know your office is investigating some distributors. Any updates or reactions to that that you want to share?
Well, just that we continue to be very vigilant. You know, immediately we put out an emergency regulation to ban price gouging because we saw the really crazy markup in price for masks, gowns, other supplies. There has been this real fight. There's been a tremendous worldwide demand out there, and supply chains have definitely been affected. So, you know, I'm just hoping that we as a state can continue to work to support employers, to support schools, to support daycares, you know, to support our hospitals, nursing homes, and the like, who are going to continue to need PPE for months to come. But it is it certainly exposed some of the weaknesses in the system, that's for sure.
So, Attorney General Healy, we're going to bring an additional voice in for more on workers' rights as the state continues to reopen. We're also joined by Judith Miller, a labor attorney and founder of Miller Employment Law Group in Newton, Massachusetts. Judy, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
And Judy, before we go to calls, let me just ask you to add to the conversation what you've been hearing from workers, because I'm sure you have, about what it's been like for them to return to work. What kind of concerns are you hearing?
The concerns fall into two categories. The first category is generally, and this dovetails with what Attorney General Healy was saying, employees who are worried about returning to work, worried about, particularly if they're in a high-risk group, worried about their ability to be protected when they return to work. I've had a number of situations where employees have gone to their employers and said, I am in a high-risk category. What can we do to make my workplace safer? And the employer has said, well, then you can't come back to work. The other thing that I'm concerned about, and this happened during the last recession, is that this is a time where employers start to prune their workplaces. They're nervous that they're not going to be able to afford all their employees. And unfortunately, what I see happening is the first people to go are people for whom there is implicit bias, like Black people, older people, those protected categories. People in those categories I see getting cut, getting laid off more frequently than the rest of the workforce.
So let me turn to Attorney General Healy to just address that last point, and then our lines are completely full, so I'll start getting us to some callers as well. On that last point, AG Healy.
Well, I think that, you know, which last point,
The part about employers first turning to protected populations for layoffs
right.
In this
Judith
moment.
Is absolutely right. I mean, we they are the first to go, and you know, unfortunately, they are so vulnerable anyways. And so, you know, we are aware of that. We are again, I opened up a Fair Labor hotline in my office for any complaints of retaliation or if you hear you've been unfairly terminated. And I just, you know, again, I call on the business community to try to work together as best we can to, you know, keep jobs for people. Some people have been able to take advantage of the PPP program. I know some haven't been, but part of the aim of that federal stimulus money was to allow employers to keep employees on their payroll during this time. And now, obviously, as we're returning to work and reopening, you know, we hope that employers will have an even greater capacity to do that. It's been a hard situation for employers and a real hard situation for employees.
All right, let's turn to some calls. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to ask your question. We've got Jane on the line from Brookline. Jane, go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I'm calling because I'm a preschool teacher, and as our schools plan to reopen this week, I've noticed a huge problem with a lack of childcare for preschool teachers themselves, with either children enrolled at the school or at a neighboring school or in the public school systems. And, you know, I understand that under the CARES Act that each employee is entitled or is covered for 80 hours of to care for a child if the child care center is not open. But what protections or, you know, resources do employees have that may need to go to work and open the schools if their child's school is not open? And what extra precautions can the state do to help preschool teachers when they're already in such a vulnerable situation, given the fact that, you know, in an infant toddler classroom, there's no keeping 6 feet of distance. You know, as a child care provider, we understand that. We want to provide developmentally appropriate.
Excuse me for interrupting you, but we have lots of calls, and I do want to get an answer to your call. So let me come back to our panel and see if either of our panelists has an answer they'd like to give you there.
Under the CARES Act, I can answer part of it, which is under the CARES Act, there's a provision for leave, not just for 80 hours, but also continuing leave if there is no childcare that is open. So while the other childcare centers are beginning to open, if you don't have childcare, you can go to your employer and talk about a leave beyond the 2 week period.
Attorney General Healy, is there any more that you want to add to that?
I think that Jane is making a really excellent point, and something that I've heard from a lot of people about. We need to, as a state, figure out childcare now. We simply cannot reopen in the way people think about reopening, whether you're a school teacher or you're working in a company downtown. We cannot effectively reopen until and unless we figure out childcare and also education. We have to start with our young people. And already during the last 2 months, we've seen this on parents. I know I had many folks in my office have children who are at home, and the strain of both, you know, having to work and care for them, those who are teachers having to think of their classrooms but also take care of their own kids. So we need a huge concentrated effort from the state level on this. This is going to be the top priority right now, in my view. And we haven't done enough, I think, as a state on this. We need to do more. We need a plan. We need it now. And we're going to need boatloads of money for these child care centers, and it's got to be figured out.
All right, let's turn to our next call. 800-423-8255 is the number. We have Alexander on the line from Roslindale. Alexander, what's your question?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Basically, my wife and I are both laid off restaurant servers. And while we are very concerned about all the PPE, of course, she's 8 months pregnant. We're expecting our first child in July. Safety is a big concern as a high-risk population. But we're really concerned about our financial situation. With the $600 extra benefit ending at the end of July, as McConnell promises, we will be down to half of what we're living on now, which puts us in a full-blown emergency, let alone, and this is the real question, we're already getting pressure to come back to work, and we don't know what rights we have to refuse it. If we refused and lost that as well, I don't even know how to describe where we would be at with a new baby and zero money coming in because we refuse to go put ourselves at risk at an empty restaurant. And that's the further point, which maybe is not an attorney general question about rights, but a practical part is those are empty restaurants. Like, how many servers could you even keep right? On a busy
night,
when it's
closed down,
you cut servers. So yeah, sure. Yeah,
let's get that answer. And Alexander, I'm sorry for your stressful situation, and I also hope that it's a safe, healthy delivery for you. And I think you were asking Attorney General Maura Healey, so let's turn to her first there.
Well, sure. Look, and I echo those sentiments as well, Alexander. I hope everything goes well for you. Now, you know, I totally hear what you're saying. And let me tell you this. If you are at high risk for complications of COVID, you can request an accommodation, such as the ability to telework or work in a more isolated area. That's not going to necessarily work for you as a server. But the governor's reopening plan, as I understand it, does instruct employers to offer high-risk workers priority consideration for workplace accommodations. If you feel you've been denied that, you can call my civil rights division. I think, you know, I'm sure that Judith would have other things to offer on this, but, you know, one thing that's been particularly hard for restaurants is that, you know, they haven't been able to actually get a lot of the PPP money. Their hands have been tied, and, you know, most of their employees have been better off collecting unemployment right now. And, you know, as you say, as you live, that's not enough, and it's running out. So we really feel for you, and we really need to find ways to get workers and families like yours the help that they need in the coming months.
And listeners, we will get and post the number to the Attorney General Civil Rights Division on our website at radioboston.org. Judy, is there more you want to add there for Alexander's question before we go to the next caller?
Yeah, I think that it's really important. And I advise, you know, all employees I talk to about this, talk to your employer. If you're not feeling safe in the way in which they have, you know, set up the restaurant or provided PPE, talk to your employer, get them to do more, work with them, tell them your concerns, and talk to them about your high risk. It's really important to let them know you're in a high risk category and you're entitled to these accommodations.
Let's take another question here. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We've got Tom on the line from Ashland. Tom, go ahead.
Hi. I'm self-employed and qualified for and began receiving PUA benefits over a month ago, which saved me from dire poverty. But since the allegations of fraud came up, benefits have been frozen. And it's been going on for 4 weeks now. When I first called the department, I was told I had already been confirmed as a real person and to wait a few days. But that was well over a week ago. When I called 2 days ago to find out why the holdup continues, I was told, and I quote, "We don't know for sure why the system is taking long to process the payment," unquote. And, quote, "Nobody has any idea how long it's going to take," unquote. Now, a friend of mine who's in the same boat called their state senator's office and pretty much got the same answer. They're getting told the same thing by the Department of Unemployment. Maybe your office can do something.
Yeah, I hear you.
Great question.
It's ironic. I got a call this morning from a woman in Worcester. She's a single mom, and same situation. She'd gotten the PUA payments. All of a sudden, she stopped getting them because of, I guess, this issue. My office, I will tell you, is looking at it. I think it's outrageous. I mean, we have to, at a minimum, the Division of Unemployment Assistance needs to right now put out a notice to people who were receiving PUA and say, hey, here's the deal. There was a fraud. We have to go through X, Y, and Z. And they better be working double time to make sure that the system is fit to allow the continued processing of PUA payments. I just found out about it. My team's told me that we've gotten a ton of complaints about it. There are thousands of cases where benefits have stopped flowing to claimants who need this money. So DUA needs to figure this out now and needs to get this money flowing to people like you right away. So we'll be pushing on this.
Judy, we're going to turn to another call in a minute, but before we do, I want to ask you a quick question. You had told Alexander to talk to his employer, explain his situation. There will also be a role for customers to play in being aware of what the safety standards are, participating in them, and saying something if safety standards aren't being upheld. The governor has said if you see violations, start by reaching out to your local board of health or local government. Is that an effective approach, and is that what you would advise people?
That is a really good question. I think that we have to test that. I think that the local boards of health may not be, depending on the municipality you're in, capable of that, particularly in the employment situation, because in terms of employment, you have, worker safety is a bit different from what the boards of health generally, the issues that they generally deal with. Some of the boards of health in smaller towns are volunteer. And so I think it's going to be a really challenging situation. The problem is we really need to rely on ourselves. And this is a really important issue that the governor needs to, in a sense, focus on, because the federal government is not helping us. I read yesterday that OSHA has gotten 5,000 COVID-related complaints and issued citations in one. So we need to really, as a Commonwealth, work together on this.
Yeah.
So, I agree with everything that Judith said.
I would also add that we have a Fair Labor Hotline. The number is 617-727-3465. Workers and customers can report unsafe working conditions to our office. We have, in the last few weeks, reached out to boards of health for them to take action, and they have responded. We also have reached out directly to employers, and they've taken action. So I would just note that that's available as a resource as well.
Yeah, that,
and
that
we'll
is,
post that number that on our means, website as well. So we have less than 3 minutes left. I want to bring up a question from a caller. I don't have time to go to the caller, but I think this is for you, Attorney General Healy. The caller was from Lexington and said that their town meeting is virtual this year, but they don't have the internet, so they can't participate virtually. Is there a voting rights issue there?
That's really interesting. I would, if you could, get that person's number, and I will have my Division of Open Government look into that. Certainly, we've had to move to these virtual worlds right now, but participation and the ability for one to participate is absolutely imperative. And, you know, that goes for things like public meetings. It goes to education. It goes to any number of realms. So if we could, Tiziana, take the number and the name, and my team will get right back to them.
Yeah, we can do that, definitely. And we'll, as soon as we take this offline. All right. And one more question. Again, I'm not going to go to the caller. I'm just going to bring Anne's question forward. Anne from Essex says, can money go to pay unemployed people to look after children? So can we use money we're receiving to pay people who are unemployed to look after children? Yep, I'm not even sure who to steer that question to. It sounds like neither of you have a ready answer to it.
I'm not sure.
Okay, let's let that one go. I probably needed to have Anne on the line in order to be able to get it answered.
I think it does depend on, I think I want to understand the circumstance. Take Anne's number, and our Fair Labor team will call her back.
Perfect. Thanks so much. All right. We're out of time for any more calls, but I do want to ask Attorney General Healy, as we move further along in phase three is actually potentially quite soon. What are the biggest things that you're going to be watching for?
Well, I think workplace safety. It's really important that we not risk going backwards by allowing for unnecessary infection spread. I think, you know, we have to be flexible with our businesses and employers. That's also meant changing some of the permitting, the zoning, you know, allowing businesses to operate in new and different ways. You see the delivery of or the ability for curbside pickup of alcohol, for example. That was a change, but again, something necessary in terms of the restaurant's ability to keep running. So, you know, we're going to be looking for opportunities to help workplaces as well as workers, and we are going to keep our eye on workplace safety.
All right, that's Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healy. Thanks for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
And labor attorney Judith Miller, founder of Miller Employment Law Group in Newton. Judy, thanks to you as well.
Thank you.